You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Okay. 6 minutes past the hour. It's John and Gordy on this Thursday afternoon. Coming up in a little while, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, and then Rocker is going to be in the studio with a Max Inc. preview.
Well, that's great to hear.
Yeah. What are we hearing here, Aaron? What selection?
I Don't Want to Set the World on Fire by the Ink Spots.
The Ink Spots. Okay.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, that goes back a ways. 40s or 50s, I think.
I think so.
Yeah. Taking your
Something
calls.
Like that.
Taking your calls at 855-752-4842. Wisco Paul is checking in. Let's see what's on his mind. Hi, Paul.
Hey, good afternoon, fellas. God, I love your show. You guys got great callers. And also, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, I don't know what's going to happen if ICE comes to Madison. You guys, I don't know. We won't cross that bridge till they come. But, hey, I call this the Trump revenge tour, and he's pretty much out of control. And I don't know if there's anyone to stop him. But
right.
Here's my thought of the day. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of a law. We're only in year one, by the way. I don't know. Maybe he's trying to set a record on a number of laws broken. But at this point, can you guys think of a law he hasn't broken yet? Because I can't. I can't think of anything. So that's a depressing thought, by the way. Anyway,
yeah.
I hope he doesn't get anywhere near Madison, boys. Okay, thanks for taking my call again.
Yeah. I agree.
Wisco Paul, thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah, appreciate right. that. I showed Gordy. I was trying to find. I was trying to find a location of a place I want to bring up here on the air. And
so yeah. we are on the air. I'm just curious.
We're actually on the air.
Over there giggling and looking at the phone like two schoolboys.
I went to Google Maps, okay?
Okay.
Yeah.
And it shows Lake Michigan upside down.
Upside down. What kind
with
of
with Milwaukee on the east side of the lake, and I can't get it to straighten out.
Something wrong with
what
your
happened?
GPS.
Wow,
something wrong with that phone.
You don't have a map, a north south, like a little icon.
So everything's
north,
upside
south icon.
Everything's,
there should
be. Let me see here.
Everything's weirdly upside down.
Icon.
All right,
are you
there
ready for the AI glasses?
There it is. Why was it upside down?
Oh, you are showing. There's a man talking to you on the air, and you're looking at a map of Chicago for some reason.
Try to pay attention, where will you? Back on the rails.
Well, welcome back.
Now, we have talked about this before. I have a problem with attention deficit.
I understand.
Okay?
You think? God. Let's go back to the phones. David in Middleton.
Rain us in here, Gordon.
Yeah. David, go ahead.
Oh, hi, guys. Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, one interesting statistic that so far in 2026, more Americans have been murdered by ICE than by illegal immigrants.
Oh, man. I bet that's true.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't doubt that.
I just pulled that out of my butt. But,
I wouldn't doubt that. I wouldn't doubt it.
I wouldn't doubt it.
No, I mean, we're both sitting here saying, yeah, we wouldn't doubt that.
Yes.
But, you know, but you brought up a really good point, too. You know, there are a number of deaths that have happened in ICE custody.
Yeah.
And we're really not hearing about any of that or any of the lists of people that may have been hurt or killed in ICE custody. So for some reason, we should start asking those kinds of questions. Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you.
David, thanks for that. Yeah, we got a stat here from Steve in Milwaukee, and he says, speaking of facts, 2025 was the deadliest year for ICE in two decades.
Huh,
yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't
Steve,
know.
Steve, thank you for that.
That's interesting.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, look who's in town.
Yeah.
Brian Noonan just walked into our station. I'm going to go out and say hi to him.
All right.
I like the morning show better than you guys.
I know.
Thank you. All right. Wow, she just threw us under the bus.
Oh, boy.
Record time here.
Right in front of the boss. Well,
I know. That's great.
All right.
Thanks for your support.
Let's get to
855-752-4842.
Let's get to this. This is really, 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 really big.
Really big issue.
Nearly 290,000 Wisconsinites have signed up for the Affordable Care Act.
Okay.
Yes.
Wow.
Healthcare.gov. They signed up. 290,000 Wisconsinites signed up. That is down from 307,000. So it has declined 17,000 for whatever reason. And that is the current statistic on that.
Yeah.
But now, if you go nationwide, 800,000 people dropped out of the ACA compared to a similar time last year. That's a 3.5% drop from 24 million to under 23 million. And that's a decrease in both new and existing enrollees re-upping. It may still drop even further because today is the last day for late sign-up. So we'll get the final numbers real soon. The Congressional Budget Office said extending the subsidies for 3 years would increase the nation's deficit by about $80 billion. But what is that, really? $80 billion over 10 years? That's hard. Well, I mean, compare that to $100 billion through 2029 for DHS ICE detention centers. So we're building the ICE detention centers while we're giving up on people signing up for the Affordable Care Act.
Unbelievable.
We're saving money. We don't want to give them the supplements. And they really need them. So, you know, the money is being allocated in the wrong way. They're spending it in the wrong way.
Exactly.
And you can repeat that to other people and say, John Peterson said that. I made it sound like it was important, but
you did. That's
all right.
Phone lines are back open. If you want to get in, now's a good time. 855-752-4842. John, we have a guest in the studio here.
Yes.
Brian Noonan from The Morning Show is here.
Hi, gentlemen.
Hey,
how are you? Thank you for letting me bash your party. Crash your party.
Well,
John, I was listening so intently. You did make it sound so very important. I wrote it down. I'm actually having it laminated, and I will reread it tomorrow morning.
Excellent.
Well, yes. That's good. So how was the drive up from Chi-Town?
Oh, easy. It's I've been in Madison countless times. I've been all over. I was a stand-up for a long time. So as it was funny, as I walked in, I was like, this is the third or fourth location for the it used to be Comedy on State now.
But
it's been all over. It was on top of a Greek restaurant last time I was here. It was somewhere else. It's been all over. So I'm familiar with the Isthmus.
Excellent. Well, it's good to have you here.
It is great to be here, and it's we're having fun. We're almost 2 weeks down in the morning, so we're having a good time.
Yeah. You and Jamie Martinson on every morning here from 6 until 8. And now, Brian, you mentioned you were a stand-up, but I remember listening to you on WGN a few years back. I was working in South Bend, Indiana as a TV weather guy, and I had to get up super early in the morning.
Oh, so you were listening to the overnight show.
I was listening to the overnights. So when was that? Like mid-90s? Late 90s?
No, not that. It was mid-2000s. So I think I started there in 2015.
Okay.
And I did weekend overnights, then I did sports show, and I was on, if there was a time slot, except for the Lutheran Hour and the Great Outdoors. Those were the only two shows I did not do. But the overnight show, we had fun, and then that was till about 2020, end of 2020.
Okay.
And then I was down the road, down 94 a little bit in Milwaukee, and now I'm here, and I couldn't be happier. Yeah.
Now, people may not know this yet, but you have a really cool podcast. It's about beer.
Yes,
basically. What's that called?
Crafty Brewers: Tales Behind Craft Beer. And I'm contractually obligated to say the award-winning podcast.
Oh, really?
Or my producer would kill me. The pitch is every beer is a story because we're not rating beers, we're not ranking beers. We go in, and every brewer has a different way that they came into the industry. We've talked to past guys who were pastors before, and everybody came in a different way, and they're fascinating because they're passionate, they're creative, and they're the easiest interview. You guys will appreciate this. You can ask them a question, go out, have a sandwich, come back, and you still haven't ended the story. And I'm like, oh, this is perfect. It's easy for me.
I've seen a few of your podcasts, and it's great because you actually go to the brewery and set up right there.
We're there, and every place is different. Every place has a different character. And I always say craft breweries, and we've did a number of episodes in Milwaukee, and hopefully we'll do a bunch in Madison. They're the new corner tavern. They're the cultural center of a neighborhood, and that's why I'm so passionate about people supporting them.
Well, John's been into beer for a long time, but you kind of let it go for a while.
I brewed beer for a while.
Did you really?
Yes, I did, yeah. But it became contaminated. Something in the process,
yes.
And I couldn't get rid of it. I couldn't clean it out, and I just gave up the whole damn thing. But I love beer, and brewing beer is probably just one of the greatest arts.
It is, and people just drink it, and they don't appreciate it, but you're absolutely right.
That's right, and you hear those stories all the time. As you say, these people have started their own breweries because of their hobby of getting into beer. And I got to ask you, though, because people are drinking less now,
yes.
And people are very conscious of high-level alcohol beers, now they're looking at maybe no alcohol beers and such. Are they moving in that direction? Maybe some of the people that you've been talking to at these breweries,
and we just did an episode the other day with a brewery in Aurora, Illinois, and this home brewer, to your point, started out, first time we ever talked to somebody, started out by brewing barrel-aged beers as a home brewer.
Oh.
Now he does a lot of like 4%, 3.5%, because to your point, yes, they're looking at lower alcohol beers. A lot of them haven't gone to the no alcohol, but they're going to seltzers. Some of them are experimenting with THC-infused beverages. But you get a lot of the nice crushable, as they say, 4%, so you can have a few and not be bogged down. The Pilsners are coming back. Lagers are having a resurgence. So you're getting a lot of those kind of beers, which is great.
Yeah. You do have the specialty beers, the high alcohol beers, the beer barrel or the whiskey barrel. Bourbon barrels. Yeah, those are pretty high alcohol. My wife used to be a part of a group of writers, and they'd have a beer con, and they'd buy all these special brews from all over the country.
Oh, man.
You know, Sam Adams had a whole bunch of aged brews as well. But, everybody's kind of into the lower alcohol beers.
Yeah.
And I think that's where the industry is going. We have some great breweries around here.
Oh, I know.
Ale Asylum, unfortunately, went out of business, and that was a tough one to take.
This was the first year in the U.S. that more breweries closed than opened.
Really?
It is not it's tough for local brewers.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, you live right near a brewery, right?
Capital Beer.
Capital
Brewery. Yeah. Here's the thing. I was expecting maybe you'll be gaining a lot of weight. I say that a lot of these breweries have fantastic restaurants in them. They have great food, right?
Yeah. It goes back to being the community hub. You want people to come. You want them to bring their families. Yeah. You want them to stay for a while, because if you have food, people are going to stay a little longer. If you have games, if you have trivia, if you have whatever, one beer that you might stop in and try one turns into, oh, let's have a couple. Hey, Thursday nights we always go to the brewery for trivia and everything else. So it's great.
Well, they had a great brewery, and they moved, sadly. Maybe they even went out of business. They used to be on the Milwaukee River.
Really?
Yeah. I can't remember now. Second Street.
Okay.
But it was a great place.
Yeah.
Milwaukee has fantastic breweries. I grew up in Milwaukee.
Milwaukee is, it's crazy. But there's so many here in Madison and the surrounding area, too, that that's another reason I'm glad to be here.
Well, Brian Noonan, we're happy to have you here. Yeah. Welcome
aboard. Guys, thanks for having me, and I appreciate it. It's great meeting you in person.
Yeah. Very good. We'll be back with more of John and Gordy and more of your calls after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
It's John and Gordy in the afternoon here, 23 past the hour. Hey, let's try to give away another pair of tickets here to the All-American Rejects. They're coming to the Wisconsin State Fair on August 13th. That's a Thursday. Tickets go on sale tomorrow, but we've got tickets to give away today. But those sale tickets tomorrow, when those go on sale at 10 a.m., you can go to wistatefair.com. The key word, and again, you need the Civic Media app free to download, free to use. The keyword is summer. So just get on the app, find your local station, look for the text button, and text us the word summer, S-U-M-M-E-R. You'll be in for that chance to win a pair of tickets to the All-American Rejects. You have until 6 p.m. tonight to enter that keyword in. The All-American Rejects at the Wisconsin State Fair, Thursday, August 13th.
Okay.
All right. It's just a weird coincidence, but Mark texted us. He says, I wonder if Trump is also recruiting fingermen like Creedy in the movie V for Vendetta. And I watched V for Vendetta last night.
Did you? Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I still haven't seen that one.
Yeah, me either.
Oh, my gosh. It is really, truly one of the great movies, and it really is timely. I mean, you would think that they just lifted the Trump script and brought it into this movie. But, you know, this is well before Trump, and it is fascinating. It truly is.
Where did you find a
big thumbs up?
V for Vendetta.
We have the
Blu-ray.
4K Blu-ray of that.
Oh, okay.
We just bought the 4K Blu-ray.
All right.
And I'm mad because my wife bought it for my son, and it's like, no, I want that movie myself, you know? It's my movie.
Okay. You're very possessive these days.
I am. I'm really possessive. I say own your media, you know? Don't wait for it to stream. That's just ridiculous. And now they're charging you to just watch a simple movie online. This is
I know
ridiculous.
It. Yeah. But, drives me crazy.
Yeah. All right. I got this.
Yeah.
Corporate immunity is next on the Project 2025 list.
Corporate immunity.
I read this story. This is a really amazing story. Kitchen countertop workers are dying. What? Now, mega lawmakers want to ban their lawsuits for getting cancer. In California, workplace safety regulators discussed a proposed ban on cutting so-called quartz or engineered stone, a popular choice for countertops. That the material creates an unusual amount of lung-damaging silica.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
that stuff's
silica
nasty.
Dust, yeah.
That's awful.
And when it gets cut or polished, that dust gets in the air.
Oh, sure.
More so than polishing or cutting natural granite or marble. So this is really, really bad news for those people who work in that industry, you know, cutting these countertops of the so-called quartz or engineered stone. Meanwhile, get this. Congressional Republicans have discussed a bill that would ban workers' ability to bring lawsuits against the companies that manufacture and sell this raw slab of engineered material. So they want to prevent people from getting compensated for getting cancer or dying from all the silica that they've been inhaling. Now, I don't know. Is there not a conscience on the other side of the aisle?
No.
Please.
No. At least when it comes to billionaires, millionaires and billionaires, the answer is no.
All right. Now, there's a Minnesota-based manufacturer of engineered marble, Cambria. They pointed a finger at countertop businesses that cut raw slabs on the cheap without necessary protections. Mm-hmm. Cambria says that they have no control over these third-party businesses and their dangerous conditions. Well, they should have control.
They should, yes.
They should actually insist on that if they're going to use their materials, right, for countertops.
Right.
Immunity certainly is something that's rising very much so in the Trump administration. Immunity for ICE agents, immunity for the president, and now, of course, immunity for countertop makers.
Got a text here and it says, if corporations are people, why would they be immune? Okay, that's something to think about. Corporations are considered people.
All right, now this we might all have been somehow a victim of this. It's called surveillance pricing when companies set different prices for different customers on internet purchases. After a backlash, Instacart recently ended a pilot program that allowed retailers to charge different prices for people living in the same city. It's good for some consumers, not good for others. Obviously, less often used. Also out there is surveillance discounting. In other words, they somehow automatically create a coupon for you if they know that that's what you need, or you're a low-income individual, or you don't have a credit report rating of some sort. So, I don't know. You know, it works both ways, but I don't like this surveillance pricing.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Doesn't seem...
I got to tell you this, so I'm going to get it off my chest right now.
All right.
I told you that I didn't pay my bill for Prime.
Right?
My city card. And,
oh, yeah.
And this is what happened. You know, they bothered me. They cut me off. I couldn't pay my bills for Netflix.
Yeah.
So I'm really mad about that. But now, because of that, this was just an interaction between us. All of a sudden, now I'm getting all of these spam mails saying that if I don't pay up now, I'm getting cut off. That's, I mean, really, seriously. Really? You got to pay up now.
Yeah.
Or your credit's going to go.
Okay.
Somehow, somewhere along the way, there's an algorithm that noticed that I had this conversation with Citibank and back and forth.
Right.
And now I'm getting all of these spam mails trying to get me.
Brother. On it goes.
I'm a victim.
Okay. Coming up, we've got the Midwest Farm Report, and we're right back with former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. Pardon me, right around the corner on John and Gordy.
You need a cough drop? I have some, too.
Yeah, oh, you got one? Okay.
Catchy. John and Gordy posing before a picture. If you're watching us on the internet,
on
the tubes, we have a new picture in the background just for the heck of it.
And, I think that was taken last winter.
Reminded Jim Santel. Yeah. Of Jeremiah Johnson.
Yeah. Has that kind of look to it. And
as played by Robert Redford.
Yeah. That's right. Jim Santel joins us now. Good afternoon, Jim. Good to have you with us.
Good to be with you as well. Other movie references, of course, could fall in the same category. The Sting, the two of you, Robert Redford, Paul Newman, passing the Sundance Kid. Maybe that's the picture.
Options. Yeah. Really pushing it there. The headquarters, right? Good, bad, and ugly, I was thinking, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, Jim, where do we start today? How about President Trump thinking about the Insurrection Act and putting that in place because of all the trouble in Minneapolis?
He's telling America, he's talking about those corrupt politicians of Minnesota, these are his exact words, who don't obey the law and stop the professional agitators and insurrectionists from attacking the Patriots, capital P, of ICE. And so he's angry with everybody in Minneapolis and Minnesota generally. And so he's threatening to invoke the Insurrection Act. He's done that before. Last time this was done was way back in 1992. Many of your listeners, not all of them perhaps, when you recall, that was the time of the beating of Rodney King. There were four white police officers who were acquitted, and there were truly riots going on in Los Angeles. And so we haven't invoked that since that time. But Insurrection Act basically says that if the president does indeed find that there are insurgents, there are people overthrowing the government, rebellion, insurrection, you can, in fact, call the military in. I know we've talked about this before. We're talking now about the army and calling them into the cities if, in fact, the president makes a determination that there is an insurgency afoot. Again, the question is that really the case in Minneapolis? Or do you have, admittedly, very serious, people are getting killed. I don't mean to minimize the significance of that at all, but do you have protests which are protected by the Constitution and advocacy that does not fall in the category of trying to overthrow the government? Nonetheless, he's saying Insurrection Act, I may invoke that and send the military in. Only other thing I'd comment about is, you know, there's also this other thing, Posse Comitatus Act of 1878. That's the one that says that the president can't use the military as a domestic police force.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you've got these two pieces of congressional legislation, 1878 and 1792, and we're invoking them now in 2026, some conflicts there. And we'll see if this is simply saber rattling from the president yesterday and today, or if he's serious, perhaps, about sending military into Minneapolis to address these corrupt politicians and the insurrectionists who he believes have now taken over.
Okay, so Insurrection Act and Posse Comitatus Act Which one wins? Right. Which one
okay,
wins?
Okay, so the answer is, how do you want to vote on this, right? The answer, Posse Comitatus Act says law forbids the use of military as a domestic police force. Insurrection Act says president can, in fact, use the military if, in fact, he finds that there is an insurgency. So you got these two pieces of independent legislation going on. They're both the law of the land. And again, they have a lot to do with how you classify what's going on. The Posse Comitatus Act basically says we've got domestic law enforcement. We have police officers, right, and county sheriffs and those folks. We don't need the military, army, and other forces coming in. That's the big one, right? And that's certainly the one that I would ascribe to under these circumstances, where what's going on in all these major cities is not insurrection. It is protests. Admittedly, they are ugly. Admittedly, they are very, very serious. But we're not trying to overthrow the government. This goes back to the rebellion issue. And again, even whether the National Guard should be called and all these kinds of things tied together, my sense is that there's no need. There's no need to send in the military. And yet our president today is talking about doing that. It puts us in that category, once again, of overseas countries where we see leaders who send military into their own cities, right? Tanks rolling down streets of major cities. And we all look at those and we say, what? Oh, my goodness. Look at that bad government, that bad country. That, thankfully, that would never happen here. Our president has just threatened that.
Well, yeah, I think this is so different. Minneapolis is so different in all of this because we really didn't have the immigration problem there. They're just going after a neighborhood simply because of a fake reporter, Nick Shirley, who went around by the order of a Republican legislator who wanted this guy to come in and do a hit job on that community. And it worked. And for some reason, there's no one working for the president who can tell him seriously what is going on and why he shouldn't take Nick Shirley's reports seriously, that they've already taken care of the problem. They're already watching many of these learning centers and child care centers. They've already dealt with the problem. And this guy just merely brought it to light, you know, blew it up out of proportion and hit the right-wing media fan and just spread out all over the country. And he's not following logic or good advice. He's getting advice from, I think, you know, Pam Bondi and Kristi Noem, who are lying. You know, Stephen, he's going to say, are there these people there? Are they? And they'll go, oh yes. They don't in any way want to say anything that would be contrary to what Trump actually believes or thinks. They won't tell him something that is the truth because they know that he might not like it. That's my theory on this.
Right. And it may, in fact, terminate them, right? We've seen that before. And what a big difference between what you just described. And admittedly, we were going this direction in the first Trump administration, but you had people around him, including people from the military, chiefs of staff who looked at him and were telling him, Mr. President, you can't do that. And of course, all of them, bit by bit, one by one, are shown the door. But that was at a time the president was new to all of this and relying upon some of the standard middle of the road, sensible Republicans, surrounding himself with people who do know what's going on. And they're not there anymore.
I think it kept him at bay during that first administration. That's what I think. Mm-hmm. But now the other part of this in Minneapolis is that it's not immigration anymore. It's really going after American citizens.
Yeah.
This whole thing is just based on protests. He wants to do this. He wants to invoke the Insurrection Act because of people protesting. That's a First Amendment right we have in this country. And things are getting a little out of whack at this point.
Right. Absolutely. And to your earlier point about this, again, unsupported video that was circulating around in the media much too broadly, it was simply inaccurate. If you create the very circumstance that prompts the disruption and that kind of thing, and then you come back and say, gosh, I don't have to respond to that. There's something wrong with that, not just logically, but legally. You are the one who created the very problem that you now feel you need to address by doing this extraordinary thing. Mr. President, life doesn't work that way, right? And if you behave generally, if you support, go ahead and support domestic law enforcement. if you want to hire more law enforcement, more investigators, more prosecutors, you can do that. Let's have the crime bill of 2026. You can put that together and deploy those people in Minneapolis and Milwaukee and Los Angeles and Portland and Charlotte, all these other places. Go ahead and do that and create, again, more domestic law enforcement to address what you think is the problem. But you don't need to reach across this huge border and get the military involved. Right. Those are people who wage war appropriately under circumstances. We train them to engage in wars. We do not train them to engage in domestic law enforcement, the purpose of which is not war. It's to serve the constituencies. Violently different kinds of things they're doing and prompting, therefore, violence when you do get the crushing of those two different missions.
We're talking to a former U.S. attorney, Jim Santel. We have a question here, a text question from Brett in Brown Deer. Can you ask Jim? Now, we're talking about insurrection, but he has a question about martial law. Can you ask Jim if you can travel internationally under martial law? He wants to know because he has a trip coming up soon.
Right. Well, and again, Brett, keep looking at the news, right? This is obviously is threatening the insurrection. It's different from martial law. Martial law is even more dramatic, right? What you're doing there is you're shutting down, among other things, the right of habeas corpus, which is the right to petition for your release if you've been improperly arrested. Yeah. Christy Noem apparently doesn't understand that concept that we learned early on. But martial law is basically stripping the population of any of most, if not all, of its civil liberties, including the right to protest in the first place, to be out there shutting things down because you've gotten to the spot where you cannot control things anymore. That is an extraordinary remedy. Again, martial law during the Civil War. Yes, because we were at war in our domestic geography. But again, not under these circumstances. But Brett, you make a good point nonetheless. It is challenging these days even to move around America, regrettably, because of these kinds of misuses of law enforcement and ICE here in this particular case, threats of National Guard being invoked. Those, again, seemingly have been quashed by the Supreme Court and the president's own decisions in some areas. But again, for anyone, I'm not a travel agent and I do not mean to dissuade people from traveling. But it is the kind of thing, get your passport in order, make certain it is present, and know about the fact that with these declarations, things can change.
Yep.
Let's go to the phones. We have a question for you, Jim, from Jesse in Madison. Jesse, go ahead.
Hey, Jesse.
Oh, I guess it was, hi. I always appreciate Mr. Santel's expertise and opinion. I guess I'm just curious why we're working under the premise that the president is trying to work under the law. Also, John and Gordy, why there's this assumption that he's just being given bad information. I think it's very clear from his actions that he's acting in bad faith and wants confrontation. It's almost like the Civil War has already started, and the evidence of that is that he's already moving pieces across the chessboard and doing provocations. Like, these are opening moves to a chess game. He's trying to probe defenses. Thankfully, ICE in Minnesota has overextended itself and overreacted, but this is just more moves on the chessboard. The game's already afoot, so I don't think there needs to be any pretense about what the motives are here. The motive is rending the Republican half to move into an empire where law just doesn't matter anymore.
Well, the way I see it is the people advising him know what he wants to hear. See, and I'm not saying that that's not what he wants to do. He wants to do these things. Yeah. You are right about that. But I think the people advising him know that, and they give him the answers that he wants to hear, so he continues on his way with this.
Right. And Jesse, to your good first point, I agree with you entirely. All right, if Donald Trump looks at any of the folks around him and says, give me some reason for doing it, they come up with the Insurrection Act and say, oh, look, you've got the authority, Mr. President, and you dress up this behavior as something more legitimate than it is.
That's it.
We'll be back with more of your calls, 855-752-4842. And we'll be back with the former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel after this on John and Gordy.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
It's John and Gordy in the afternoon with Jim Santel, our guest.
Mm-hmm. And Aaron, you had a question from a listener.
Yeah, Rick in Waukesha had called in, and he was wondering, noting that Minnesota and Minneapolis particularly have a sizable Native American population and, you know, at least one congressperson who is from one of the local tribes. And he was wondering if that's playing into the increased hostility or anything else in with the ICE raids in Minneapolis.
And your question is incredibly timely because just in the past couple of hours or so, we have got this statement from the leadership of the Oglala Sioux tribe demanding the release of, apparently there are four Lakota men who were originally detained by ICE. One of them has apparently been released, but asking ICE for the release of these members, enrolled members of the tribe, and not getting any response from ICE about this. The other aspect of this that is all too compelling is that the place where many of these detentions are taking place is the Whipple Federal Building, which we've seen in a lot of the video here, is actually the site of the Fort Snelling, where, again, many of the Dakota tribal members were held in historically way back in the 1860s or so. So again, history not repeating itself, but certainly rhyming here. And we've got a situation where you've got a group of the sovereign nation there in Minneapolis, the Oglala Sioux tribe, four members of their tribe taken into custody, and the tribe demanding the release and information about them.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks for that, Jim. Yes.
Let's take up the balance of powers issue that the Senate decision not to do anything, not to tell the president what he could or could not do when it comes to military action in Venezuela. I mean, if they would have passed this thing, we'd have something at least maybe to hold him back from going into Greenland on his own.
Right.
Now we're sitting here with a very weak Senate, very weak Congress. What are we going to do, Jim?
Sure. So we got a resolution here that was this close to being passed,
right,
just in the past 24 hours, that would have forced the president to seek congressional support, congressional approval, follow the Constitution before you go in any further military action related to Venezuela, as you just indicated, John, also presumably applicable to other excursions that he might engage in. And there's a huge amount of reaction to this. The president is not happy about the fact that there are sufficient numbers of votes, including five Republicans who are not voting in his favor, voting in favor of the Democrats, just about to pass this resolution in the United States Senate saying, no more of this, Mr. President, until you confer with us under the Constitution. What happens is that the president gets back and says, oh, don't worry. We're no longer there, basically, in Venezuela. We're not doing anything. Military action is done. No need for this. And as a result, two of the five Republican senators, their names are Josh Hawley, Missouri, and Todd Young, Indiana, join the majority, leaving just three more Republicans, Rand Paul and Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski, joining the Republicans. The matter that is then 50-50 in the Senate, and the vice president comes in to block the tie, if you will, and the resolution does not pass. And so, again, it's a situation where the Senate's simply wanting to say, we need to follow the Constitution. You need to tell us before you go in and do these things. And that didn't happen. The United States Senate backed off and said, fine, we take you at your word, Mr. President. Nothing else going on here.
Just amazing.
It's unbelievable.
They're willing to give up their own power for this.
Yeah.
This president. Truly unbelievable. Let's get to the five new congressional districts in California. Sounds good to me.
Right. And so this is the big initiative there. This is the governor there. This is the referendum. Five new districts, and they go into court. Obviously, they're challenged principally by Republicans and an appeals court. The appeals court there out in California just yesterday says that's just fine. No problem with those five additional seats. May or may not be appealed to the Supreme Court. Got a lot of business going on at the Supreme Court these days. But at least as of now, those five additional seats created by California, presumably to respond to the five additional seats in Texas, other things. An appeals court yesterday says you can go ahead and get candidates and have elections, primaries and elections for those seats this calendar year. That's no small thing. Could affect the balance of power in the United States Congress, as will all of these things. But that's a huge, huge judicial result coming out of the appeals court just yesterday.
Yeah.
One more issue, Jim. What about the arguments that the Supreme Court is hearing on whether states can prohibit transgender women from participating in women's sports? They're going to take this up.
It didn't sound like it went well.
They're going to get the issue presumably resolved in some way. They had oral argument on that this past week.
Yeah.
Okay. And again, it was a little bit difficult to read the tea leaves. There are certainly lots of questions from all sides about whether or not this can happen. And it appears that probably the Supreme Court will find some way, maybe a limited way, to support the states if they decide to do this. And it could be a very narrow issue having to do with Title IX, or they could go big. They could swing big for the bleachers, as we sometimes say, and they could say that, yes, indeed, you've got carte blanche to do these kinds of things. We'll see in the next few months what the decision is.
Okay.
All right.
Amicus, a law review this weekend. What do you got coming up?
Yeah, what do you got coming up?
Right. We're going to talk about what's happening next week in the Supreme Court, which is whether or not the president can fire members of the Federal Reserve. Jerome Powell these days, much in the crosshairs, if you will, this president inappropriately. But the other issue is whether or not Lisa Cook, you remember her, terminated by the president. Federal Reserve, and the Supreme Court has traditionally said recently anyway, that the Federal Reserve, independent agency, they've kind of got a special status. We'll see next week what the tea leaves are from the oral argument about whether or not a majority wants to give the president the capacity, basically, to terminate people on the Federal Reserve, basically turning the Federal Reserve into his own economic entity, setting interest rates, regulating banks, and doing other things that affect the commerce of America.
Okay.
Huge case next week.
Amicus, a law review this weekend on civicmedia.us on Saturday at 9
to 11.
Yep. Jim, always a pleasure. Good to see you. Talk to you again
soon.
Always
glad to be with you, gentlemen. Take care. Have a good weekend.
Yep. You too. Back with more of John and Gordy. Rockers coming up in our next hour. Stay with us.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.